I just want to start by saying how honored I am to be back in Berkeley. I lived in the Berkeley East Bay area for about 12 years in my 20s and 30s, and Berkeley has a very special place in my heart, so it's wonderful for me to be here speaking tonight and teaching. I want to talk about freedom and self-compassion, and the freedom that comes from self-compassion. Compassion changes everything forever. When we actually cross over, when we cross the stream from ego reactivity and from being identified or misidentified with ego reactions and resistance and cravings and aversions, and we begin to make the journey across into compassion and self-compassion, it really changes us. And there is no going back. It changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we see loved ones. When we begin to see through the eyes and the heart of compassion, it changes how we relate to life itself and how we see life itself. Now, none of us really had the choice to not get caught up in ego. You know, when we were 1 or 2 years old learning how to walk and talk, we all mimicked our parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles who were basically lost in ego reactivity. And so we believe that that's who we are and that's what we take on. And that, you know, reacting, having a reaction to everything, a like, dislike reaction to everything. We took a detour at 1 and 2 years old down what I like to call ego lane. It was actually a necessary detour. I used to think when I was a young therapist, I thought, oh, those poor people who were abused as children, they got lost in ego and trauma, and those poor people who grew up with an alcoholic parent or grandparent, oh, that's so sad. And then I began to realize as the years went by that we all took the detour. We all took the path of ego, of resisting and reacting to every little thing, of having a like or dislike reaction. I like the sunshine. I don't like the rain. I like when I get what I want. I don't like when I don't get what I want. And ego's, you know, what I call ego's toolkit of fear and judgment and self-doubt and shame and all the tools that ego uses to basically distract us from who we really are. And who we really are, which Buddha was so kind to point out 2,500 years ago, who we really are is unlimited joy. Unlimited loving kindness, unlimited compassion, and unlimited equanimity. That's who we really are. When we get ego's tools and soldiers out of the way, when we stop the resisting and stop the reacting, and we notice the judgment and let it go, and we notice the self-doubt thought and we let it go, then we're free. We're free to actually live in compassion, in unlimited compassion for ourselves, and to see just what it is to be a human being in a body. It's a challenging thing for us. It's not just fun and joy. It's not just getting our way. It's very challenging. And the ego, of course, tries to lie to us all the time. It tells us that if we just get it right, if next time we're just smart enough and we're just clever enough and we just do the right thing next time, then maybe we can avoid suffering. And that is a complete lie, as you know. Anyone who's meditated for more than 5 minutes knows that part of being a human being in a body is suffering. And most of us think of compassion as, well, let me tell, you know, the world that may you be free of suffering and the root of suffering, and may your pain and sorrow be eased, and may you be at peace. And we so often skip ourselves. We think, well, it couldn't be me. It couldn't possibly be me that Buddha was talking about. How could I be unlimited compassion, unlimited joy? Not yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm not there yet. And yet, that is who we are. That is who we are in our core. Unlimited joy. Unlimited loving kindness. Unlimited compassion and equanimity, or what I also call inner peace. And so when we begin to cross over and really get a handle on how ego is talking to us all the time and resisting what is true all the time and reacting to every little thing all the time and judging and comparing and doubting and all of its bag of tricks, when we really get a handle on that, there's a big exhale, a big relief in our body, and we begin to relax into the unlimited compassion of who we really are, who we really are, the compassion that can look and see at this predicament of being a human being in a body and go, oh, I'm so sorry that you're having back pain. Let me hold your judgment in compassion. Let me hold your anger or fear or resentment in loving compassion. And when we're able to do that, when we're able to shift into the compassion channel, then we feel free. We feel much more freedom. It's not that the event out here has to change. The weather doesn't have to be different. The relationship that I'm in doesn't have to be different. The difficult divorce doesn't have to be different. None of that has to change. What changes is how I respond and noticing how I respond and then responding with compassion. I want to lead you in a short exercise about this so that you can really, I'm a body-centered therapist, so I like to give people an experience, and I want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment and focus on your breath. Just feel your breath moving in and out. And call into your awareness some issue in your life. It may be a physical pain, it may be an emotional upset, it may be a conflict with a loved one. Just call that into your awareness right now. And first, notice how that issue feels in your body. Just notice what happens to your breath. What happens? Do you feel expanded or contracted? And then ask yourself, well, how have I reacted so far to this issue? Without any judgment, how have I reacted so far? And how have I suffered by my reaction? Be honest. How have I suffered by my ego's reaction? And then say yes. Just say the word yes to whatever the issue is, however you reacted. Just say yes to all of it. And hold the whole thing right now in loving compassion. Just surround it with the same love that a mother gives her child. Just holding it all in loving compassion. And notice how that feels inside. And then bring your awareness back into the room and open your eyes. Just let that body experience inform you right now without any judgment. Because often our reactions are not in our control. The ego's reaction is pre-thought. We don't think, you know, if you're yelling at me, I'm going to yell back at you. It just, boom, it just happens. Or if a loud sound happens, the body just contracts. Boom. We don't think, oh, I'm going to contract when a loud sound happens. It's all pre-thought. Ego's reactions happen before we even think about it. And so it, rather than trying to, quote, prevent that or stop that, just hold that in compassion, because loving compassion, the reason it works so well is that it's able to hold everything. It's able to hold what happened and your ego reaction to what happened and what feeling it triggered and what belief, what core belief or old belief, like I'm unworthy or unimportant or unlovable or nobody cares about me. It's able to hold all of it in loving compassion. And that's the key. We think, well, if I can just get over my fear reaction, then I'll bring some compassion in. No. Let's have compassion for the fear reaction and for the not wanting the fear reaction and compassion holding what we don't like, what we don't want. All those things that ego reacts to. Because as we bring this more awareness to both how ego reacts and the choice, we begin to have what I like to call conscious choice. Compassion happens in moment-to-moment choices. Compassion happens when we notice thought as a thought and let it go. Compassion happens when we notice a fear or hurt or sadness as and any other feeling, and we notice it and let it go. When we stop identifying with it. I wanted to read from Free Yourself, my new book, about conscious choice. Conscious choice offers a safe, non-judgmental way to stick our big toe in the waters of the unconscious, those waters that we were taught to avoid. It gently invites us to ask, what feeling is fueling my story right now? Just as naming thoughts, thinking releases us into the present, identifying feelings underneath our mental stories gives conscious choice. We can choose to set down ego's reaction and judgments and ask, how would I like to respond to this situation in this moment. When we ask directly, we see that the answer is obvious. Most of us, once we realize we have a choice, much prefer reassuring ourselves for 2 seconds than spending hours lost in fear or reactivity. And so it comes down to really choices. Which will I choose? Moment-to-moment choices. In this moment, will I choose fear or compassion? In this moment, will I choose reaction, ego reaction, or compassion? In this moment, will I choose judgment or freedom? Which will I choose in this moment? And compassion lives in the present moment. It's always right here. It's always a choice that we can make if we're awake. If we step out of the detour that we took at 1 and 2 years old and say, in this moment, I choose to respond to your anger with compassion. Or in this moment, I choose to respond to my young, wounded child self, fear, with compassion. In this moment, I choose to hold myself in compassion. I may not like what's happening. I may not have expected what's happening. That doesn't matter. That matters a lot to ego, but it doesn't matter one iota to loving compassion. Compassion is able to hold all of it. Everything. Every feeling, every dislike, every reaction, every fear, every moment in loving compassion. And when we're able to do that, there's tremendous freedom. There's a delight in just how life is right now. Yeah, maybe I don't like it, or part of me doesn't like it. Yeah, maybe I wasn't expecting it. But it's able to hold life and actually treasure whatever is happening right now. As a therapist, I've learned to trust life. I've learned that when a client comes in and they say, oh my gosh, I just came from the doctor and I'm diagnosed with cancer. I say, well, let's take a few deep breaths and let's see what gift even the cancer is bringing to your life right now. What is the gift? Or when they're going through a horrible divorce, a painful divorce, one they didn't want, I say, let's see what's the blessing here. Let's hold this, even this, in compassion, and see what is the blessing here that's coming into your life in this moment. And it's incredibly freeing when we shift that perspective into seeing through the eyes of compassion, even this pain, even this suffering has gifts for me. If I can shift and hold it in loving compassion. And awareness, I think of awareness as the stream that helps us cross from the land of ego into loving compassion. Awareness is what helps us see ego's reaction without indulging it. It helps us see the anger bubbling up without indulging it. It helps us to choose consciously, how do I want to respond in this moment? So I wanted to read another quote. The book is about 10 different powers of the heart that we're all born with. And One of them is loving compassion. Compassion is a gateway to freedom, and we can enter at any time. Much more than a feeling, compassion is the heartfelt warmth shared between equals, even if we don't totally understand another's suffering. Compassion becomes a lifelong companion. It blossoms into a serious commitment to free ourselves and others from suffering by leaning into our suffering, by getting to know our suffering very well. Rather than perpetuate ego's lie that if you just do it right next time, you'll never have to suffer, our compassionate heart knows that freedom lies in accepting life as it is, free of any resistance. Like shedding a winter coat in springtime, compassion sheds ego's unnecessary old habits. It elevates our ability to be present to the highest level, with its unlimited capacity to hold all feelings and all experiences tenderly, not just the one that ego wants and likes. Compassion sees the whole scenario of events and reactions unfolding before our eyes and loves it all. It loves the hurt, fear, sadness, or shame that fuels our resentment. It loves egos acting out. It even loves our childhood belief that triggers feelings and reactions. The arms of our compassionate heart embrace all of it. Compassion greets anger, resentment, disappointment, rejection, and suffering with kind gentleness. It welcomes each experience without needing to judge any of it, good or bad. It trusts that our caring, compassionate heart will embrace whatever arises. It rejoices each time that conscious awareness greets unconscious conditioning with loving compassion. When we hold our life, hold our feelings, hold our beliefs, hold our wounding and trauma, hold the millions of moments that we get lost in unconscious conditioning, when we hold all of that in loving compassion, we experience tremendous freedom, tremendous relief. But we have to want freedom more than anything. That becomes the issue. We have to want freedom even more than we want to be well, even more than we want our hip or back to stop hurting, even more than we wish the conflict with our spouse wasn't happening, even more than we wish that we had gotten our way and gotten the promotion at work, or not lost our retirement money to Madoff. We have to choose freedom and want freedom more than anything else, because anything short of that, we stay lost in ego lane. We stay lost in the detour. And the detour in the ego lane at 1 or 2 years old, you know, that's just, we're just mimicking our parents. But if we're still doing it at 40 or 50 or 60 years old, then you have to ask yourself, how am I creating my suffering here? How am I stealing my joy and freedom away? Because at some point, we do need to cross the stream and cross into loving compassion and seeing through the eyes of compassion and seeing every predicament everything through the eyes of compassion. That's where the freedom lives. When we tell ourselves, well, after work, or after I retire, or after I go on vacation, or after I get well, then I'll feel free. All we're doing is postponing our freedom. Telling ourselves, you can't feel it right now. And most of the time, we are telling ourselves, I'm not free. I'm not free because I'm not getting my way, because something's happening that I don't like happening or didn't expect. And so most of the time, we're telling ourselves, I'm not free. But just close your eyes again for a moment and take a breath in your belly. And tell yourself, I am not free. And notice how that statement, which you make several times a day in various forms, how does that feel in your body? I am not free. And now let that go for a moment. Take a deep breath in your belly. And this time say, I am free. No matter what's going on around me, no matter what feelings are visiting me, I am free. Just repeat it over and over and notice how that feels in your body. Asking questions, noticing how questions affect your breath. Notice how reactions affect your breathing and your body. Noticing when you contract and when you expand. Really, really good teachers about what you are doing to yourself. We think life is doing it to me. Life is stressing me out. Life is causing me pain or difficulty or suffering. We do it to ourselves by our reactions, by buying into ego's quick pre-thought, resistance, and reaction. So then there becomes only one remaining question. If we're deeply committed to living in compassion, the question is, can I live with all the ups and downs, all the pain and suffering that comes with being a human being in this body, and still be conscious, still be awake, still be nurtured and informed by who I really am, by the unlimited joy and loving kindness, unlimited compassion and equanimity? Can I live with all the ups and downs of being human and still be nurtured by who I really am? And of course, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, moment to moment, as you consciously choose compassion, holding even this, even now, in loving compassion. And then ego's reactions and ego's judgments and ego's fears and ego's doubts and ego's comparing and all the things that it does begin to slide right off like Teflon. They don't hold your awareness anymore. They don't hold your attention anymore. So I want to read one more quote from my last chapter about living in freedom, and then open it up for some questions here. I have compassion for my need to now wear reading glasses. As our heart opens and we see ourselves and life through the kind, loving eyes of compassion, freedom becomes our daily companion. We lean into the spacious freedom that holds frustration, confusion, trauma, and fear in its loving embrace. In this very real place, underneath ego's anger and resentment, worry and despair, our wise heart beckons us back again and again and again into the present, into this peaceful moment where freedom lives right here, right now, always. Our moment-to-moment task, day after day and year after year, is to choose freedom more than anything else. Freedom is the truth of who we are. Freedom is our birthright, our essence, our true nature. We are always free, no matter what is happening around us and what feelings are moving through us. No longer lost for hours and days in ego's thoughts and fears, regrets and judgments. We freely come back to our breath, resting in the magic of this moment. We free ourselves when we label thoughts thinking and focus on what we are seeing, hearing, touching in this moment. Freedom evolves as we step into the present and totally accept life just as it is. So I wanted to open it up now for anyone who has questions. Okay.
Hi. I'm used to thinking of freedom in a maybe a dualistic way where I think of it, I'm free of something, free from something. And I was wondering if there was a more, what are some more positive signposts or maybe non-dualistic measuring sticks we can use to see how free we are or how free we are becoming?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the ego keeps us captivated by telling us that if you can just get free from this or that, you know, what you don't like and what you don't want and on this and all the things that it lists that prevent freedom, then you begin to step into the freedom of your true nature. That like we are free, but most of the time we're constantly telling ourselves, I'm not free. If this would happen, I'd be free. Or when that happens, in the future, I'll be free. And it's just ego's very clever way of once again pulling us into the future or the past rather than allowing us just to bask in the present where freedom lives. Freedom isn't like 5 days from now. Freedom is right here, right now. And the main thing is choosing freedom over anything else that the ego wants out of the way. Choosing freedom. Yeah.
So ego is a Freudian term. How would you describe ego in another way besides ego?
Good question. Ego is anything that relates back to I, me and my story. It's the I thought. It's actually just a thought. It's another thought that we can say thinking and let it go. But ego is a thought that centralizes everything that happens out here and every feeling that happens in here back to me. How does that relate to me? And so when we're always centralizing back to how does that affect me, how does that relate to me, then ego once again has cleverly figured out how to use Buddhist terms to get in there and mess with us, so to speak. Just to be present, yes, yeah. So ego is just a thought, and when you label it and let it go, then you're back into the state of the natural state of freedom, compassion, unlimited joy, unlimited loving kindness, unlimited equanimity.
Can you say more about, you said you have to really want it. You have to really want this freedom.
You have to want it more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Can you say more about that?
Well, most of the time, we, as we go about our day, driving and walking and eating and sleeping, working, most of the time we're running a story. And, you know, it's often an unconscious story. It's not like we think, okay, now I'm going to go for a walk and run a story. It's an unconscious story about what's happening or what happened that shouldn't have happened or how it should have happened. And most of the time the story is ego's version of how life should be different and better and more in my favor. So when we catch the story, when we label it story or label it thinking and come back into the present, then we have to want freedom more than we let ego want to get rid of our back pain with an Advil or get rid of our headache with an aspirin or get rid of our spouse who's creating our problems. Or most of the time, we want what we want and we want to avoid what we don't want. And that's ego. So when you stop, there's an action in there. Like the ego wants, let's go for this, let's avoid that. Let's like this, let's dislike. There's always this constant measuring and comparing and judging. And so when we just like stop that, there's freedom. When we stop all that activity, there's freedom just in this moment as it is, without needing it to be any different. Yeah, I'd like to get rid of my back pain, you know, but right now I choose freedom. Yeah, I wish that conflict wasn't in my awareness with my teenage son or whatever. But right now, I choose freedom. So there's a basking in freedom that's available in the present. Does that help? Okay.
I have more of a comment, actually. I just want to say that whatever you said resonated very well with me, and I'll cite a very short example. You know, talking about ego, I work in the tech industry, which is very competitive and highly male-dominated. So there is always this ego that wants to outdo everyone, be smart, know everything, you know, that kind of thing. And I have been meditating for about a couple of years now. During my meditation, I have been able to develop some compassion for myself in terms of what exactly my strengths and weaknesses are and to be okay with my weaknesses. What that has opened up for me is that there is this very senior person at my company who I really admire. And when I began to accept the fact that I am not the best software developer around, but I would like to be one, it became much easier for me to approach him and ask him if he would like to mentor me. And in doing so, I am much more free now in my mind when I'm at work because I'm not trying to prove myself to anyone, including this guy, when I'm working with him. I am not afraid that he might not approve of my work and might not think of me very highly as a competent software developer, whatever. And when I could approach him for mentorship, it is remarkable how many possibilities that has opened up for me, because he is much more willing to come and help me and give his time personally in making me a better person and a better software developer at what I do compared to a lot of other people who are constantly trying to prove themselves and in some ways pushing him away. So all I'm trying to say is that whatever you said resonated very well with me, and I'm much more free as a person at work because I have all this help that I always needed, but I didn't want to admit. But now I am admitting that I need help, and more help is available without me coming across as needy and pushy and whatever. I'll shut up now. Thank you.
That's great. That's a wonderful story of giving yourself freedom by making a conscious choice to have the person you were afraid of be your mentor. Yeah, great choice.
Carolyn, would you comment on the difference between embracing compassionate freedom and taking wise action? If I have a headache, it's not a question of just sitting there saying pain, pain, pain. I'm going to go for an aspirin. So could you expand on that in some way?
Yes. That's fine if you take an aspirin when you have a headache. That's what they're for. I think the bigger issue is allowing yourself to still bask in freedom and self-compassion even when you have a headache. It's what I call putting space around what's happening or space around the sensation or feeling, rather than we typically hone in on, I have a headache, I don't like the headache, I don't want to have a headache, and we actually pull ourselves out of the unlimited joy and freedom in that way. But if we can feel space around whatever is happening, and then you take an aspirin because you have a headache, but you're still basking in the and holding yourself in self-compassion and loving compassion and allowing freedom to hold even the headache, even this, yeah. Okay. Is there one more?
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about... So I'm a therapist, or I've trained as a therapist, and so I'm curious what you would have to say, because from my experience, compassion I kind of get a sense of the compassion that you're talking about, the self-compassion, and it's opened up, I feel, through healing relationships that I've had with therapists. So whereas before, I was probably running through programs or just conditioned whatever. And more recently, there's just kind of more of a space that feels like archetypally like a mother or a father figure, like that comes from somewhere, but that's able to relate to myself in different ways, relate to the stuff that comes up for me in different ways. And so... I guess I'm curious what you would have to say about that process. And I've always kind of wondered about meditation and therapy, and if can you get to the same place without doing meditation or without doing therapy as you would if you did the other? So is there a compassion, I guess, that you're talking about that can develop independent of something like therapy, for example, or because if you're having these internal object relations that are not benevolent or that are, you know, more incisive, or I don't know what the word is.
My experience is that part of the reason I wrote the book, Free Yourself, is because I find that if we only meditate and watch our breath and label our thoughts and judgments and fears and doubts, thinking, there is something missing when we get up off of the zafu and then we go about still cultivating anger or resentment in our daily life, or it's like, what am I cultivating all day long after I get up off the meditation pillow? And these 10 heart qualities that I've written about are qualities that we're all born with, and they're all free. Like, all we have to do is say, today I'm willing to choose compassion, or today I'm willing to choose gratitude for what is, good and bad, or today I'm willing to choose loving kindness, so that we begin to bring the heart qualities that we're born with into our daily life. Because too often, you know, we sat on the zafu for 45 minutes and then we're flipping somebody off at the red light, or someone who took our parking spot, and so in order to carry it into our daily life, we really have to ask, what am I practicing in this moment? What am I cultivating? Am I cultivating anger or fear or judgment, or am I cultivating compassion for myself? And as soon as we ask a question, we access our wise heart and its wisdom, and we begin to have that conscious choice that I referred to earlier. And often when we give ourselves a conscious choice, we will choose compassion over suffering. We will choose labeling the I thought, overrunning the story over and over, the story of me. We will choose loving kindness over fear. So when we give ourselves the conscious choice, by asking, what story am I running right now, or what feeling is fueling my story, how do I want to respond in this moment? When we start asking those beautiful questions, then we really give ourselves the ability to consciously choose. So I find that the combination of meditation and cultivating heart qualities is way more powerful than simply sitting and labeling our thoughts and then getting up and cultivating ego and all of ego's tools. So I want to thank you very much for your beautiful attention and your wonderful questions. May all of you be free of suffering and the root of suffering, and may all of you choose consciously to live in the freedom that compassion and self-compassion really can bring to our daily lives. And if you would like to go deeper on this, I invite you to join me and Deborah Chamberlain Taylor at Spirit Rock on Sunday for freedom through embodying freedom through self-compassion. And if you're willing to look at my book and see if it might be something that you'd like to purchase. James Perez did write the foreword for my book. And I deeply appreciate your willingness and your attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.